Now, if we remember, 1 Timothy, we have four... Oh, thank you. 1 Timothy, we have four themes, right? Four important themes that kind of sum up or intertwine Timothy, and mostly like all the epistles, really. Not the epistles, all the pastoral epistles. But we have sound doctrine, sound worship, sound leadership, and then also sound living. So we already kind of went over sound doctrine. We did sound worship while the oaks were away. That was an interesting one. And then now we're into sound leadership. So before we continue, I just want to go around the room and, you know, we'll ask a question, you know, share your name. And also who, since we're doing sound leadership, who has the most influence, or who would you say you're most influenced by? I mean, you could say your dad or, you know, Jesus, if you want to say that, honestly. But if there's somebody, yeah, if there's a second or third option in there of who would you say, you know, has influence in your life. Let's go ahead and start with you, Tim.
My name is Tim or Timothy, and my first option would be God, but my second option would be my dad. Do we got to go into why and
good question. I would say that's good. Thank you, your dad.
Great. Yeah. Love my dad.
Love your dad.
Oh,
yeah.
Good guy.
No surprise.
Yeah, my name's Jaime. I'd say, yeah, kind of. Also, my dad, because he's you know, been influenced me sports wise. You know,
yeah.
Really into sports as a kid.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's very a very hard worker. Mm. So he's always, you know. Waking up early, going to work, and then he's, you know, at 50 years old, you know, he's going to the gym every day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
All the whoop, whoop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tracking his, well, yeah.
Whole, you know, recovery and stuff.
Yeah.
That he takes a lot of effort into.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's really, you know, hardworking.
And yeah.
He loves us, so he really inspires me too.
Thank you, yeah. Awesome. All right, Jaime, thank you for that, yeah.
My mom and Ellen DeBrumley.
Yeah, thank you.
Cassie. And I don't know, I think currently, since I'm under their household, John and Jan.
Yeah, good answer. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Discipler in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
I'm Josh.
Yeah.
I think it's a compound answer to my dad this time. Everyone else is answering it. So, probably besides from my parents, maybe John.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty influential.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
My name's Zane. Thinking about really who shaped me and my personality, I'd have to say my mom and my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Together.
Thank you.
John, and for me, I think it's kind of a tie between my friends Robert Carrillo and Greg Brinsky.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah. For me, I mean, I would say for almost my whole life, even today, I would put my brother, my older brother, on that category. You know, he's always been an influence, whether I like it or not. You know, so yeah, I would say my dad. You know, my brother, who's like my father figure, dad in a way. 10 years, I know. You say that too, yeah. So, but you know, it's interesting because we're gonna get into sound leadership, and you know, sound leadership, hint hint, is got a lot to do with influence. You know, it's got a lot to do with influence. So, but in order to frame sound leadership in a good way, as we go into 1 Timothy, I think you remembered, we had to kind of go back and understand a few things. Like in Matthew, we don't have to go there, but in Matthew 7:15, Jesus says, "Thereby their fruits you will know them." Right. So it's the fruits that we will see, recognize. You know what. You know, what a tree is, what a false teacher is, and what if something is sound or true. Okay, well, you can tell by their fruits. So the people that you are influenced by, I mean, there's some fruit there that you've seen that has given you some kind of reason to be influenced by them, you know? There's something there. Maybe it's love, maybe it's their character, maybe it's, you know, where they're at in life. But we tend to want to find influence. I mean, there's a lot of influencers out there right now. You can kind of make a living off being an influencer. But not all of them have sound doctrine, sound worship, or even sound leadership, or even sound living. We're going to go there, but that'll be next time. So with that, okay, we have a sound doctrine. We talked about that, okay? Sound doctrine is beliefs that govern your life and produces good spiritual fruit, right? The goal of sound doctrine is love, right? That comes from a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith, and the most important thing is that it conforms to the gospel. You guys remember that, right?
Yes.
Great. Okay, some of the things about, I'm just going to go over the list because it's important to know this, right? This is the fruits, the things we talked about, the fruits of false teaching, right? Speculation, pride, confusion, controversy, division. Those are all fruits of false teaching, but the fruits of sound doctrine are all these things. We want these. These are delicious fruits. You know, these are nice, ripe bananas, very delicious. Probably the garden of John has some really good, you know, have some good fruits and vegetables. But this one, we don't want that. That's weeds. That's outside. We don't want that here, right? But sound worship, right? There's also sound worship. And what is that? You know, it's more than singing, right? It's how we respond to God with the fruits of reverence, humility, and love. It's how we respond to God. And that response is what we reflect to one another, right? The character of God, we reflect that to one another. And more importantly, or maybe not, maybe just equally as important, to the lost, right? So we reflect with our worship, how we worship God will be reflected to the lost. And it's also something that we should not be distracting. Okay? Because our worship could distract. Right? We talked about that. Why did Paul cares about who's doing what they're wearing, how they're praying? Because it can be a distraction. Remember that? Right? It can be a distraction. So we don't want distractions. Right, Paul didn't want it. And so, with this, you know, we gotta remember that, you know, false teaching is no bueno, but I added the sound worship on this. I'm gonna keep coming back to this for the next couple lessons. We do want, sound doctrine without sound worship, and the next time you'll see sound leadership here, just, it's kind of a thing. So today we're gonna kind of go over sound leadership. So let's go ahead and pray. Before we really get into this. All right. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, thank you so much for this time to be together, Lord. Thank you so much for this lesson that we're about to receive, about to share. God, may your Holy Spirit guide us on what is sound leadership. What do you call? What does Paul say sound leadership is? And Lord, I pray that leaving here, we get to really understand that, really apply that to our lives. And God, you know, if anything, Lord, if we just get a little bit of today and just apply 1% of it, I truly believe it'll make a big difference, God. We love you. Thank you. Be with those that aren't here for health reasons, of course. And we love you. Pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, cool. So one of the things I want to thank John. John, last week, he talked about Jesus, our example as a leader. And that's really important. I really love that John actually, not on purpose, it just happened. I love when that happens. John shared about Jesus being our leader, and he led mostly by example, right? He shared, he served, he sacrificed, right? He gave people a purpose and a mission. And Jesus is the head of the church. He is number one. You know, he's the top of it all. He's the chief shepherd, right? He is the perfect example of what sound leadership ought to be. So I have a question for you guys. Knowing that, since Jesus is our perfect leader, why do we need leaders at all? Why do we need leaders? Y'all can answer if you want to. Like, wait, you're waiting for a rhetorical? No, go ahead. Yeah, Zane.
Well, using the illustration that the Bible does, portraying the church as a body, you know, we need neurons, like, to form a chain, to bring instructions to different parts of the body. So, just as there's, you know, of course, Christ is the head, but the heart and the stomach also have, like, that interesting, like this is actually scientific.
Sure.
There's, like, I'm stumping myself.
It's okay.
There's important neurological tissue that are in different parts of the body.
That connect to the brain.
I just brain farted.
The synapse?
Anyways.
Yeah, John. Thank you, Zane.
I could give some. I give an outline, but I just say, look at the Bible.
Yeah.
And when they didn't have sound leadership, how about the Book of Judges?
Oh, John. Okay, enough. We're not asking you. We're not asking you, John. No, because he's gonna. I have that slide.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, I have that slide.
You're
spoiling it. Spoiler alert. But he knows, he knows.
We could give a 5-part outline of why we need good leaders. But
yeah. So, Tim?
I'm going to use a similar example to Zane, but with, like, Christ as the foundation, the cornerstone, right?
Yes.
The cornerstone was the stone that the builders placed down first, and then that would set the precedent for the entire building.
Yeah.
And so Christ is our cornerstone, right?
Mm.
But, like, let's say, like, you know, 5 stones down the line, right? That might be where I am. I'm aligned to the stone in front of me, theoretically aligned to God.
Yeah.
Right? Now, yeah. If, like, 3 stones down, there's a misalignment there, then every other stone is going to be misaligned.
Yeah.
The key thing there is you can take, even, like, the 5th stone in line, you look at the cornerstone and say, that's not aligned.
Yeah.
So, and then you go and align it.
Okay.
So, that would be kind of each stone in line would be leadership and the knowledge passed down through generations.
Yeah.
All that sort of thing.
We're going to continue, but thank you, Tim. So what we're going to do here, we're going to actually, those are all good answers, but there's actually a pretty simple, even simpler answer than that. And you know what? We're going to hit one of those scriptures that you've probably read 1,000 times because it's ICOC classic. Let's go to Matthew 28. And I'm surprised that 20 is over here. I really thought, I'm going to go ahead and fix that. But go ahead, let's go to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. I know some of you could probably say it by memory.
I love this song.
I love this. Yeah, it doesn't, It doesn't, I can't do it on this guy. Yeah, it's okay. Sorry. Yeah, you know, when I brought it over, there must have been a glitch there. But okay. All right, so can somebody read that?
Yeah. Sure, man.
You're going to read, Zane?
Here I go.
Go ahead, Zane.
Then Jesus came to him and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Amen. So we can see the answer here. I mean, can somebody see why we need leaders using the scripture? Yeah.
We need people to go and make disciples and people to baptize and people to teach. Like, we need those people in those positions of leadership so that way we can fulfill.
Yeah. Go ahead. Thank you.
How are we supposed to do all this if it's not organized?
True. Yeah, it needs to be organized. There needs to be some kind of organization. That's true. But in all actuality, just look, read from the beginning. It says, who has the authority?
Jesus.
And is he our chief leader?
Yeah.
Sound leader, our Lord, our head of the church?
Yeah.
And so what does he say?
Go do it.
It's his choice. This is how he wanted it to be. This is how he wanted his church to be. he chose to work with through people. He gave all the authority he has. He commanded us to go make disciples and do what?
Baptism.
And?
Teach them.
And teach them. And how do we do that?
How do we teach them?
Yeah, how do we make disciples?
We gotta first share
the
gospel
with them.
We gotta train them.
Yeah.
Courage. Right? Right? How do we make disciples and teach them to obey Jesus? We gotta train them, correction, be an example. Doesn't that all sound like being a leader?
Yeah. It is.
Whether you like it or not.
If you're a disciple, you need to be a leader.
You know, because the reality is discipleship requires leadership.
Yeah.
Requires you're leading something. Someone.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that's what Jesus said. He's like, hey, I need you to go do this. And it requires some type of leadership from you in order to make it happen. Okay, each Bible study, someone's leading it, right?
Yeah.
Someone's got to make that appointment, right? Someone's got to show up. Someone's got to make it happen. Someone's got to reach out to that person. We need leaders everywhere. Okay, and I know that when we talk about leadership, we think of positions. But when I think of leadership, I think of discipleship. I think that's what Jesus calls us all to do.
Yeah.
In different levels, right? Like you said, organize, right? Levels, different places, different synapse or neurons, different spots, right? Different rocks, maybe five from the line, but hey, we're all aligned to Christ, right? That's the most important thing. So, the question here is, if leadership is influence, who are you influencing right now? Who are you influencing right now? Is it one person? Is it two? Is there anybody on your list that you've been intentional to get time with? To reach out to? To lead in? I mean, Jesus is calling us to do that. Right? Don't expect John and me or certain people that have natural maybe leadership qualities to do it. We all need to do it. Okay, everybody.
Amen, bro.
Right? So I just wanted to make sure that, hey, when we talk about sound leadership, it's not just positions of leadership.
Yeah.
But it's all of us as disciples. Okay? So starting from there, right, and the idea of who's leading, what if the leadership is poor? What happens? What kind of fruit do we get from that? Bad leadership.
That earlier slide.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot the note. True measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Forgot to mention that. It's from John C. Maxwell, yeah.
About three slides earlier you had a list of.
Yeah, I did. And that was like a hint of what's coming. So I was hoping you guys noticed. So what happens if leadership is poor? Yeah, yeah, we got it, right? Right? Okay, here's another list, right? Confusion, division, broken trust, poor direction. You don't want someone who's bad with direction driving, do you?
Nope.
Discouragement. But you know, poor leadership, man, people get hurt, right? Bad fruit. It's not nice. And, you know, to kind of bring it out, like John said, you know, it's not a new concept. The Bible talks about it. I wanted to bring the book of Judges, John. Because one of the major themes of the book of Judges is the need for godly leadership. And we have the positive and the negative, right? The positive being, hey, when the princes of Israel take lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord, amen. But the reality is that in those days, they had no king, no leader, right? No good leader, no real sound leader. And everyone did as they saw fit, right? I mean, we're going over in Sunday. But guess what? You didn't know this one. But you know what? Hey, that's not an excuse, though, for us as disciples. No. Just because there's poor leadership, that's not a good excuse. Let's look at Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, look at Daniel's situation. Bad kings, ungodly kings, pagan government, blasphemous rulers, corrupt leadership. Right? Yeah. But he remained faithful through all that. And, you know, Bible Talk, John did a great job. The couple lessons that I was here, man, that leadership was very poor. Yeah.
I think for us, the standard is even higher. Because it's like, we are Israel, right? We're now the spiritual Israel. But we are not like the Israelites in the sense of, they only had maybe the living prophet that was there.
Yes.
But we've got the scriptures.
Yes.
Complete holy scriptures of God. We have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Within us.
Yeah.
Right?
And we still have Jesus leading.
Yes.
He is still leading our church. He's still leading this church. Yes. That's the thing. Daniel didn't have that, right? He's all these Old Testament, but we do, right? So we actually have it better than they do. And I think I mentioned that yesterday in our Bible talk. But even though we have Jesus, still we need some good leadership. We need some godly, sound leadership because truly, even the best of us can fail, right? Even the best of us. So we need to, have sound leadership because it matters. Sound leadership will protect sound doctrine, right? Will preserve sound worship, and we'll get to it later, will help model sound living just like Jesus did. Okay? So that's why sound leadership matters. We need good leadership. Okay? And you can see that from the fruit. Now, as a reminder, do you guys remember what the purpose was for Paul to write 1 Timothy in the first place? Like one of the biggest opponents?
To encourage Timothy, maybe?
Yeah, sure. To help build, Timothy up, for sure. But there was a big issue happening in Ephesus. Do you remember? False teaching. Yeah, false teaching. There were some commentaries that suggest that it could have been Jewish Christians, right? Just misusing the law. And it actually says that, it says that. So let's go into 1 Timothy and talk about knowing that, hey, we can see by its fruits and the challenges that they were facing and the need for sound leadership. Let's go ahead and get into 1 Timothy 3. And if I can have a volunteer. Great. I love that. Thank you. Before I even finish the sentence. Okay, one second. Let me get there. So now, 1 Timothy 3. All right. Okay, please read verse 1 to 13. Yep.
Amen. Thank you for reading.
So right here, we have Paul, you know, knowing that there's a lot of false teaching, false influence happening in Ephesus, right? We need to understand what a leader should look like. What can Timothy, how can Timothy find good leaders, right? And so here we have Paul sharing that information, right, in this scripture. But what stands out to you about Paul's list of who is, for example, overseer and deacon? What stands out to you about this list? Yeah.
He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil.
Mm-hmm. It just may get too prideful, this position. Yeah, John?
I see two things. Number one, it's somebody that people feel safe being around.
Yeah, okay.
And number two, people, they can respect them. I mean, there's nothing they kind of go, I don't know about that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you think of that person, you kind of go, wow, that's kind of, that's looking like the way it's supposed
to look. Amen. Yep.
He's very, very specific. You know, that's a very high standard. It says that they even need to be tested first.
Yeah.
For deacons,
yeah.
Yeah, they've watched them. Yeah. Well, I like that it says that it's noble test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're going to be an elder today. You got to practice living the life, and then when you get to that level, people will just say, you should serve as an elder.
Yeah.
You should serve as a deacon.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. What's interesting about this list is that when you're looking to fill a role in any job, right, what do most people think about? Qualifications? What kind of qualifications?
Can you actually do the work?
Okay.
That's a big one.
Can you do the job? Okay. What is that? What does that require to know to do the job?
Know what is being asked of you.
Okay. Skills. Okay. Skills. You might need to know some skills. Okay. What else?
Experience.
Okay. What else?
Knowledge
and education. Yes, you got all the answers. You must have been listening to me talk.
Yeah, it's what's required in
yeah.
Interviews.
Yeah, which you need. Yeah, talent, charisma, yeah, communication skills, confidence, a vision. I mean, these. I mean, when you look at, you know, a job, I mean, we look at this, don't we?
Yeah.
You're like, I mean, this guy looks talented. He looks charismatic. He might, you know, he's got confidence. Smells nice. He's got vision. But that's not... These two are actually really interesting because we go to school for one and we're trying to find a way to get the other. You know? It's like, I got the education, but where's the experience? Oh, man. That's why Jaime over here is doing a bunch of labs and volunteering at hospital left and right. Yeah, you got to have experience.
Yeah, that's only one way to get it.
You know? But that's not what Paul is necessarily saying here. You know, what's Paul looking for? And John already mentioned a few.
Faithful to his wife.
Faithful.
Self-controlled.
Hospitable. Yeah. All the character. What school can I go to get this? Where can I go to get this, guys?
Not at UC.
Can I take a class at UC Merced for this? Can I go to Merced College? Where do I get... Where did I get this?
JCU, bro.
JCU, okay. I mean, you need a lot of patience. You might need a lot. There you go. JCU.
Yeah, that's true.
This is character, guys.
Yeah.
Character. Paul cares more about character. Okay? There's really, if you notice, there's really only one skill on here, really. I mean, do you know which one it is?
Able to teach.
That's really the only one that you can... Real, I mean, I think God works in you and you obeying the Bible and you going through the suffering of it that you are refined over time.
Yeah.
But the able to teach, you could take a class. You know, you can learn from somebody. You can do your research. You can get better the more times you do it. You know, it's more of a skill. But that's a lot. I mean, that could be teaching, Bible studies, preaching. That could be, you know, seminars. That could be writing books. That could be a lot of different things. I mean, we have a great teacher right here. You know, many years of teaching, right? So, yeah. I mean, not quite what the world is looking for, right? I mean, some of it a little bit. You know what I mean? Kind of want to hire somebody with faithfulness. That's why Jan was saying, man, us Christians, we should shine in this area, in any job. We should be shining. They'd be like, oh, you're a Christian? You're hired. You have great character and we'll teach you the skills. That's how it should be.
I wish.
But it's not like that. Unfortunately, it's not like that. Right? Yeah. So.
You can't put those things on a resume.
Yeah.
That'd be great. That'd
yeah.
Be awesome.
Some of them.
Which one?
I have great self-control.
Just rewrite it with corporal speak.
You might put one of those
like unable to navigate, you know, hostile environments. Or,
yeah. So I put it here, character before competency, right? Why is that so important? Why is character so important?
Yeah.
Why? Why is our character so important?
To maybe share with people and maybe have them.
Well, to be a light, yeah.
Yeah, to kind of show your little light, yeah.
Like it kind of hints into sound worship, yeah.
As a leader in the church, you are the one everyone is looking up to.
Mm-hmm.
And if where you're lacking, everyone else will soon be lacking.
Remember, in a Bible study, they're looking at your life. You know? Yeah.
Character over competency makes me think of Jesus when he says, away from me, I never knew you. So the people who were like, but Jesus, didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do this? Didn't we plant this? Didn't we, you know, help all these people? Those people did a lot of work.
Yeah.
Maybe they were lacking in character.
Yeah.
They didn't know Jesus. Because number one, you need to know Jesus.
There's nobody on. That dude down
there. Number one, you
no,
need
Mike
to know
was not
Jesus.
On.
You need to follow him and no amount of skill and hard work can replace that.
Yeah. John?
Character will lead to competency, but competency will not produce character at all unless character is part of the competency.
Yeah, that's why it's before it.
Yeah.
Got to have character first. And I think the big reason is that a talented leader, a gifted leader, a knowledgeable leader, even a super charismatic leader. Without character, man, will damage the church immensely. Will cause people to go astray. Will have a lot of tremendous damage, right? And so I think that's a big issue because there's a lot of influence happening here in Ephesus. Right? A lot of influence of different types. You know, people are trying to teach. Even Paul says earlier, people wanted to be teachers, yet they, you know, are not teaching what they should be teaching. Right? And so in this case, character matters greatly. So I think that's what Timothy needed to look for, is that. And then we have that. We have that in what an overseer is and what a deacon is. So here we have an overseer, you know, episcope. Right? A Greek? Right? But that just means like the office in charge of overseeing the church. So it's kind of it's an overseer, but it's really like the office of an overseer. So, and their role is someone who watches, protects, and guides, and cares for God's people. So that's what an overseer. So, you know, and then you have a deacon, diakonos, right? One who executes the commands of another. Essentially, that's like the Greek definition. Essentially, someone who serves. Right? Meets needs, supports ministry. Now, you know, John and Jan can probably speak to this more than I can from experience. But, you know, a deacon to me is, I think would be someone that's an official servant. Like they're hired to do maybe finance or some kind of position that helps meet needs. But I feel like family group leaders, Bible talk leaders, worship leaders, you know, different needs in the church require different kind of deacons in a way. So I feel like they're meeting needs, they're serving, they're supporting the ministry, right? But we do need an overseer. An overseer, I would say, would be John, Jan, people that, you know, are watchful of all the areas and watches. And, you know, in this day and age, there were kind of like associations at the time in Ephesus. There were associations where it was kind of volunteer associations. So that's kind of where this word kind of comes from in a way. So essentially, it's almost like head of household. It's like whoever manages this association, essentially. So, and it's an overseer. So that's kind of what that is. So with that being said, the one note I do want to say, you see there that in the scriptures talks about, female women deacons. Yeah. Now there are two interpretations there. Some people may lean into like, okay, these are the deacons' wives, but I kind of lean into the other side where, hey, no, these are women deacons, women leaders. Even in Romans 16, you have Phoebe, who is a leader, right? And labeled that way in Paul. So I do feel, you know, women were, even in this time, were very much needed and were in positions that had influence for the church. So it doesn't matter really. What matters more is that we're looking at godly character, because it matters more for both men and women that they have godly character. Okay? Regardless of gender. Right? And to what John said, can this person's life be trusted? Can you trust that person, right? So let's go ahead and read, let's reread. Oh, different responsibilities, same expectation, godly character. All right. So next one is 1 Timothy, not the next, let's go ahead and reread this one. So can I get a rereader? Yeah, Josh? 3 to 4, please. Thank you. So, why does Paul care so much about a person's household? Yeah.
Sort of off the principle, elsewhere in the scriptures, where it says, he who is trusted with little, trusted with much. It's like,
yep.
The family is maybe a microcosm of, like, the church.
Mm-hmm.
Other churches, they teach men this all the time. They're like,
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of part of the priesthood in that sense, where it's like you are managing this little unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to have, we need to be leaders at home, right? In private, in the little things. Right, and the little things. It's exactly what you just shared, because I got that next scripture, and I don't need you to go to it. We're going to stay in Timothy, but just exactly what you said, I got the same thought. Here's Matthew 25:21. Right, his master replied. Right, you guys know that parable. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Right, it's not like, hey, stop doing what you're doing. This is the master's happiness, right? Come and share in it. Right? So we got to be faithful in a few things. So what does faithful in a few things teach us about leadership? Anybody?
It's like being faithful. It lets you reflect on your leadership, how it shapes you. Your faith is like what drives you to serve.
Yeah.
Or, be involved in community.
Yeah.
And, like, doing things that maybe not everybody else would do, because it might be prioritize your job or something, but you prioritize others.
Yeah. I mean, every job that we have, we there's an entry level position, and then you build experience and understanding. You start working through the situation. Next thing you know, you get promoted to manager of this little area. And then you get into the next one. The next thing you know, you're running your own company, or you're put into a position. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, is what I'm saying. Right? Leadership starts in the little things. Right? Yes.
The way that you act with small responsibilities is the same way you're going to act with big responsibilities,
Yeah.
The Bible talk leader doesn't automatically fix all his issues once he's in charge of a church.
Yeah. No, dude. You know what? That goes with marriage, man. Yes. That goes with marriage. Like, just because you're married doesn't mean, oh, you know what? I don't have to struggle with sin. No.
It's worse now.
It's a different battle, you know? You have to deal with situations that you didn't deal with when you were single. Yeah.
I've had a few people ask me, oh, you write books, so what do I need to do to write a book? I said, well, what have you written so far? I mean, did you write maybe an essay? Maybe a one-page essay?
Yeah.
And then the next, maybe a five-page essay? And did you get that published? And, you know, trying to go from 0 to 60 without going 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, that's...
Amen, yeah.
It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, yeah. You got to start...
If you mess up with your family, then that's a really bad indication.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the key thing here is that, you know, we have to be faithful in the little things, right? Again, it did it again. Okay. Sorry about that. But, so one responsibility, one discipleship. Can you lead and support one discipleship relationship?
Yeah.
Like, is there one person in your mind that you're like, you know what? I could disciple this. I could lead this discipling relationship better. Not for John, not for Oscar, not for anybody, but for Jesus.
Amen.
Right? Okay. Is there one, you know, opportunity to serve? Is there something that you can do and serve in church, or one person you can just care for? Maybe someone who's lost that you can just be like, you know what? I'm going to take a step and just be intentional and really reach out to this person, invite them over. They may have rejected me, but I'm going to keep going. I don't know, right? God's giving you responsibility. He has the authority. He said, hey, go and make disciples, right? Teach them to obey. Don't stop. Okay, so again, the same. The Google Sheet, the Google version did not do that. This is the Microsoft version. Let's go ahead and read, finish out this chapter. I am, because I'm telling you, Google. Yeah, there you go.
Bill.
All right, so who wants to read 1 Timothy 3:14-16?
I'll read it.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
was seen by angels, was preached among the nations. We believe all in the world we have taken up his glory.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, John did mention this scripture in the intro of these epistles, pastoral epistles, but why does Paul say he is writing these instructions? It's kind of an easy, but not so easy. Yeah, kind of an easy answer. I expect the easy answer, but there's something more there. Go ahead. Who wants to go first? Anybody? Yeah.
So that even though he's not there with them, they know what is to be expected of them. So he's sharing his letters.
Yeah. Ephesus, yeah.
Yeah, so he's really, he sees like their love of the Spirit, so he knows how much it beats. So he just wants them to, reinforce what he's already, what they've already learned from others, other servants.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, when you read this, initially you think of, oh, it's how he's writing this so we know how we should act. But I think the most important thing that we need to remember is that why we're acting that way. Because whose house is it?
It's God's house.
God's house. Is this John's house?
Yes. No, it's Jan's.
Is it Jan's?
It's Jan's house.
James, whose house is this?
Who's the
Lord? It's the Lord's house, baby. Where's game night happening?
The Lord's house.
The Lord's house.
Is that Aguilar's house?
Castle Aguilar.
Is it Castle Aguilar? Really?
Yeah.
It's the Lord's house, baby.
Castle Jesus.
Yo, this is the Lord's house. I mean, seriously. Sometimes I wonder if our conduct is better at a stranger's house. If we go to someone's house, we...
Yep. Has to go to the bathroom.
Hi, excuse me. Yeah, hi. We act a certain way when we're at a stranger's house. Maybe if we're at the governor's house. How will we act at the governor's house? Maybe we don't like him, but hey. I don't know, it's controversial, but the White House? I mean, depends on who's president, right? But hey, how would you act there? Is it better? Worse?
He's putting his feet up.
Put your feet up at the White House, sir.
At the White House.
Secret service.
Take my shoes off at the White House.
You know? Yo. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I
mean, look, this is the guy. This is not my house. I don't set the rules. This is not me. This is not yours. This is not, you know, Josh. I almost forgot. I wanted to say Tim. But, you know, this is none of our house. God, this is not our house. This is God's house. This is God's house. Okay? Let's not forget that. Okay? I know that, you know, we tend to want to feel like, oh, we can do, you know, it's our dad. We can do whatever we want. We're comfortable. It's all good. No. Hey, let's have some reverence. Let's have some respect. Let's be humble. Let's remember whose house this is, really. I mean, this is the God that we serve, and He is great.
The conduct instructions are in that leadership thing that you have.
Mm-hmm. So, because this is God's house, the doctrine matters, right? Yes. Worship matters. Leadership matters. Character matters. Right? He cares more about your character than the job and the car and the house you live in.
Yes.
Okay? So, coming to the end here. I want to have a couple discussion questions. Maybe it's 8:30. I know maybe we can go a few minutes longer. Okay. So, here are a couple questions. Maybe you can pick one with a partner nearby.
Yeah.
And you know, answer it. You know, here's your first one. What leadership quality from the chapter do you most want to grow in? And I put these down here for you. Okay, so if you want to take a look and just pick one, and maybe you can share kind of why. Where has God given you influence right now, and how can you use it to serve others this week? So what influence do you actually have, and how can you do that? What's one practical way you can strengthen God's household this week? Okay, so these right here, just, you know, go over a few minutes. Again, you can pick one. If you feel like you answered, you want to go for another one, go for it. But, yeah. Okay. It looks like we have a couple pairs here.
Pick a question.
He totally walked away from you. I guess because you and me together, huh? All right. So we'll take a few minutes.
I think gentleness, probably.
Mm.
I don't know why, but I do. So I guess I need to go with my self-control, trustworthiness, able to check out those looking pretty good. So yeah, I think maybe gentleness for sure. Maybe a little bit of self-control area.
Amen. Yeah, I would probably do the same. Gentleness. On the top, that's actually been my prayer for the last like 5 years, just to be more gentle, less reactionary, you know, especially like towards my wife, just be more, yeah, I love you, and just kind of be more of that. I feel like self-control is something that, it's a kind of a gift, discipline.
Right.
I feel like that's been a gift. God's been just really working in me in that. I feel like respectability, amen to God for that. Because faithfulness, again, I've been desiring integrity for a long time, and I feel like I would say I have that, but only because of the time that I've had in Christ. But I wouldn't call myself like I would have integrity like the first year of being a disciple, because I felt like I didn't have any of it ever, you know? But able to teach for sure is something that I want to continue to grow in. And, you know, I feel like you know, Bible talk feels good, but, you know, being with students and, you know, the gentleman, you know, that was talking to me today kind of challenged my beliefs a little bit. And I was like, I like that because I feel like I don't get challenged like that very much. So I was like, maybe I need to, you know, continue to study in a way so I can have a, you know, like it says in, is it First Peter? You know, have a reason for my faith.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So have a reason for my faith. So I think that's the other one. Yeah. Yeah. Is First Peter 3?
Yep, 1 Peter 3, verse 15.
Yeah, but in your hearts, Christ, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness. Amen.
I'm not always gentle.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, and so, giving your influence right now. All right, we got about one more minute.
Five more minutes?
You want 5 more minutes?
Well, you and I just got to the second question.
Oh, I said only one question. You could pick one. But if you can go more, yeah. You don't have to do all three.
Yeah.
Oh, can we stay longer? Is that okay?
We're late 40.
Of course.
Okay, all right. Yeah, let's go another 5 minutes. I like discussion anyway.
Where is God giving you influence right now, and how can I use it to serve others this weekend?
Can I start this one? So for me, I feel like God has given me influence in how I can, right now, like the whole marketing mindset of like how I can, you know, email, make adjustments in how we contact, how we nurture new people, and how I can use my gifts in there. I feel like that's been an exciting kind of approach for me, that I can apply all the things that I already do in the world that I've been training there, and now I can apply to church and actually have that influence.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. So that means that I can actually reach out to a lot of people, you know, through technology. And then that to me is exciting. You know, I'm really excited about that.
For me, Friday and Saturday, I'm going to be teaching this class for 40 interns. These are people many of whom are thinking of going to full-time ministry.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's why I love doing the West Coast School of Ministry. Because the fact is, my entry is my ability to teach.
Yeah.
But I'm not as interested in teaching as I am as influencing these guys.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So, you know, I'll do the teaching stuff. For me, what's exciting is my life and my example.
Yeah.
And my zeal.
Yeah.
So there is a 20% chance that I impart that.
Same zeal.
Yeah.
And they're 50 years younger. Also, that's a lot younger.
Yeah, I mean but that's what you can give. You can give that to them. You know, that's the most precious thing you have. That's awesome.
So that's what could be better than that? Nothing.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So, what's one practical way you can strengthen God's household this week?
By doing a good job on Friday.
Yeah. Amen.
By while I'm away, getting in touch with Noe.
Oh yeah, I've been reaching out to Noe too. I feel like one way this week that I can strengthen the church is to stay in touch with some of these people that I'm reaching out to, you know, try to multiply, you know?
Yeah, even just getting like a couple of visits to the church in this early part of your ministry,
I'm already trying to get 2-3, we're trying to get as many. Yeah.
Because for me to bring one or two visitors is what they do. But for you, that's going to really earn people's respect for a cost.
Yeah.
You don't totally control that, though.
No, trying.
You have to pray about it.
Yeah, we've been praying. Yeah. You know, but you know, one thing that for sure was to teach this lesson. I really wanted to strengthen their hearts and just being more intentional in helping the church, you know? Because I know you need help, I need help, we all need to be a team. So. All right. Maybe one more minute. Are you guys still answering the question, or are you guys at another point? I knew it. You're laughing too much over some serious questions.
We like speed math.
No goys. No goys here. All right. Let's get it going. We're back. Are we back? We're good? Okay. Great job. Okay. So, let's go ahead and bring it back. So, some of the takeaways, you know, remember sound leadership, right? I should have had that slide, but, protects, right? Doctrine, sound worship, sound living. We'll get to that next time. The people, right? You mentioned that about it being a noble task. Now, the people who should lead God's church are people whose lives can be trusted. It's a noble task to pursue leadership. Right? It's a noble task. And it doesn't have to be like, hey, I aspire to be an elder or aspire to be a manager. I just aspire to have influence, right? For God. And then just let God do what he does with that. Right? Just at the smallest, start here. And then let God kind of multiply that over time. All right. So that's the sound leadership. Now, for announcements, we have game night at, I wrote it. I was like, should I put just God's house everywhere? But
at that address.
But that, yeah. Yeah. So, so 7 p.m. game night, Aguilar's. Thank you for hosting. We have Sunday service at 11, right, Buena Vista, Monday at Water Bible Talk, Tuesday Merced Bible Talk here. And then hopefully, are we going to have finally midweek over? Did we get that figured out?
I wish I knew. Probably not.
Don't know. Still whether we're going to be here or at UC Merced next week, still up in the air, but the goal is to do that. Good news, though, we have officially booked recurring tabling at UC Merced on Tuesdays from 9 to 12. Every week. We just gotta tell them when we're not gonna be there. Yeah. We just gotta tell them we're not gonna be there and they'll tick us off the list, but every week we'll be on the list. So
it's funny, we were there on, Tuesday? Yeah. And we're sharing there. And we took the Jehovah Witness lady's spot.
Yeah.
So the Jehovah Witness, you've seen them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They come over.
They're a little. But this is our spot.
Like, okay, we're here.
Right now.
Yeah.
We got here first, you know?
Yeah.
So they didn't say, next Tuesday, we'll let you have this spot.
Yeah.
We'll repeat, you lose your seat.
Yeah. They were feeling a certain type of way. I think they were like, trying to really be nice. We'll be back.
This is my house.
This is the house. This is the last look. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
It's a school.
Yeah, it's a school, I guess.
So wait, but, the one that's up?
Yes.
The bridge?
Academic Walk.
Yeah.
Okay. Before the bridge.
No. Right next to where we were posted up right where the game the computer game center is.
No,
right across from Midweek. Where we see the
No.
Yeah,
closer
yes.
Glacier Plain. Everybody Glacier Plain.
Yeah, closer to
But we're going to probably post up in that walkway, though. Right? A little bit. Right? The walkway?
It's the shade, right?
Well, we can have a canopy in that walkway.
Yeah, if you go past Glacier Plain, starting to go up the hill towards
the Yeah,
path, there's, a, path,
there's a little spot there. I think that's where we're going to be. So anyway, that is good news because I know it's been, maybe a challenge to book sometimes. No, we just got it. So maybe we can get more than that. Maybe. Just saying. So anyway, special missions giving end of June. Please give, right? Consider that. Okay. Giving is, we should be leading in our giving. I'll just say that.
Are you all planning to give something to give significant for missions?
Yeah. It's special. Remember that. It's special. And then lastly, who's going to ICMC?
I know one person who's committed.
Who's going? You going?
Jaime's committed. He's going.
Let's go, ICMC.
Yeah. Jaime's going.
Yeah!
I did. I talked to him today, too. Tim, you said this?
Yeah.
Okay,
depend on his job situation.
Yeah, this job situation.
Hold on, job situation, and if it turns out I still have the same job
to figure out.
It's probably
going to
come down to money.
Hey, you are going.
Don't let money stop you.
Do
like car wash?
The Lord will provide. I know it's crazy to say, but it's true. It's crazy. It sometimes takes faith.
A few times.
Quite a few times.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
So if you've been there a few times.
Okay, okay.
And you choose not to. I mean, that's your choice.
Well, it's not a choice. It's a
so encouraging,
money
though.
And maybe I'm having a new job and I'm not wanting to miss job for the first 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's not a, it's
so,
not
so
a
you'd be wise.
Anyway, Tim, we're sorry that we're sorry we're going to go.
No pressure.
My fault. I apologize.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know, Tim. We care.
What quality am I trying to grow in here?
Gentleness.
Gentleness. That was not gentle. I apologize.
No. Tim, we love you, bro.
Okay. We're watching.
Oh, there's a slide. It was here. I was like, I know I had a slide. Yeah, sorry. We should all aspire to be the kind of people God can trust with care of his church. That's who we should aspire to be. Okay. So I thought I knew I had that slide, but it was after the announcement because I wanted, anyway, should have been before the announcement. So yeah, so people who should lead church are people whose lives can be trusted. People of character, people of integrity, people who have faith, who are faithful with a few things, people who reflect Christ, right? So, that is our lesson. It's a little late. So I'm just going to go ahead right into the prayer, and we'll see you guys. Yeah, but we'll do it. Yeah. We'll do, when's the next thing? Game night? Oh, we're going to be in Orange County. So
maybe church for you.
Yeah, we'll be back for church.
Yeah,
so,
we'll be back for
yeah.
Church.
Okay. All right. Can I have a volunteer to pray? Is there someone who's willing to lead us in prayer? Z Money. Okay. Thank you.
Lord God, thank you for this time to pray. Thank you for the opportunity to come here to meet with my brothers and sisters freely, Lord. We don't have to be afraid to gather. We can assemble whenever we wish, Lord. Father, you are holy, you are mighty. Thank you for your mercies that you pour out every day. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for Paul and his instructions to Timothy. And Lord, and they still instruct us to this day. What an amazing, how amazing is that? That we can
Amen.
Learn from the church fathers even now. It's so awesome. Lord, please help us all to realize that you are calling us to be leaders. You are calling us to really let our light shine. Both for one another here in the church, but also to outsiders, to those who are lost, the lost sheep, Father, those who are still in bondage to Satan. Please be with us as we make our way back home. We love you, praise you, and your sons we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, fam.
Technically, it's not a tape, actually. But, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The third. Yeah. We can sing a song.